Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. My co-host, Barbara, will be here soon. So, today we are talking about autism and families that have autism and are dealing with it. Now, let me see. Okay, we're just figuring out things. It's not a big deal. These things happen. Okay. Hello, Barbara.
Hi.
How are
you? Will you please send me the email again so
I
can connect via thank you.
I sent it to the email.
Okay, then why don't you talk about your family that, you know, we want to talk about tonight while I go connect the way I want to, because I already have my earphones on, so I don't want to call in on my phone because I can't hear you very well because my earphones are on. So
I understand.
Please allow me. Thank you.
That's good. What it is that, you know, we're going to be talking about autism today. And when it comes to autism, actually, you know, high-functioning autism, for years I didn't know that I had it. I mean, it was something that it wasn't until I realized that one of the problems that I had was whenever I would interact with people, I found myself not able to tell if they were joking or being serious. And, you know, with most people, that's not a big deal, except for the fact that this was happening with friends. Are you there, Barbara?
I don't think you're going to be able to hear me right now.
No, I can hear you fine.
Oh, okay. Well, it said the microphone wasn't connected, but I guess it is. So, yes, I'm here. I'm not on the phone. I'm via our dashboard, which is way more interesting.
And
thank you, Johnny.
I was talking about how, I don't know if you heard, is that the thing that's really been a big deal with me with autism, the unfunctioning autism, is that I find myself not able to tell if somebody's joking with me or somebody's being serious. And normally with most people that isn't a big deal, but when it's with your friends, you know, that can be kind of a problem. And there have been times when family members, when, you know, or with, and this has happened, you know, and you're of no fault, Barbara, but this has happened. There have been a few times, like when I'm talking to you and I can't tell if you're being serious or if you're joking around or if you're mad or if you're not mad or if it's very hard to do. And what?
A person. Okay. I just want to interject a little something because the topic is living with
an
autistic person. Okay, so I don't live with you, but I got to learn how you think, which has been really interesting. Because I realized that, but, you know, you feel that? Well, we don't understand that at first. We just think you're being quiet or you're not listening, maybe. I don't know, but I got to know the way you think, and it would just dawn on me and click. And click in my brain like, oh, he only sees it in that one perspective, and that actually is good. And there's so many great things about you seeing in your certain different perspectives, and there's so many different people on the spectrum. But you personally, I really feel like I have figured you out, and it has been interesting, and I must say that there are certain parts that I like better in an autistic person than one without.
Well, yeah, like, it's interesting. I don't remember this conversation, but you and I, we were talking via text message, and it was one of those moments where you were kind of frustrated, you know, you felt like you were going to hit the ceiling, you know, from just frustration. And then you made some comment about gutting fish or something like that. Like, you know, what do you do when you gut fish? And then when you said that, I thought, wait a minute, is she joking around? I mean, what is she doing? What? And it is true. It's very hard because the last thing you want to do is be like, okay, like another thing, when we've interviewed playmates, because a lot of them have been your friends. And I really did not want to treat your friends with disrespect. I mean, I was worried that, you know, I was going to say the wrong thing.
So what are you getting at? Are you asking my question that you get quiet during this time where you're not sure, so you get quiet, or it's because I didn't give you any signals. I don't give you signals. I say it really straight. Like I said, it really, so straight, you're not sure, wow, is this true? This seems so crazy that she could do this. Well, why don't you just ask the people, Johnny? Just ask them, you know, hey, you know, I really don't understand. Maybe it's do you not understand sarcasm or?
Yeah, sarcasm, it's hard. I've had like, for example, this is one of those situations. I work for a company where I schedule lunch and learns and I get paid on it. And when I book a lunch and learn, my boss pays me on Friday. And I have literally asked her, am I getting paid on Friday? And my boss said to me, Johnny, have I ever not paid you? And I guess, honestly, I was really thinking that she wasn't going to pay me because it just, you know, I didn't know how serious she took paying me. And it was one of those situations, you know. I mean, or you will, like a lot of times, I have also been on the phone with you when you'll do things like if you get really frustrated, you'll ramble. And I'm thinking, is it anger towards me? But it's not. You're just
mad.
Oh,
come on, Johnny. You know what? But another thing is that you sometimes are socially inept, like that time, because by, you know, like this time you tell the example, this time, remember this, remember that. And then actually when you do retell it on air, it offends that person because it is not showing them in the best light.
Oh, I'm sorry. No,
well,
sorry,
and then sorry doesn't always cut it. So, I mean, it must be frustrating to have Asperger's. And isn't that the form of Asperger's, which is you kind of put your foot in your mouth and then you just feel so horrible. And then maybe you even fall into a huge, big spiral downward depression. But you know what? Everybody around you, they can't bear that burden on their shoulder. They, you know, I'm sure that you, well, I know you just want everybody to be themselves and you want to, you know, interact and you love everybody and there's not a bad bone in your body. But hey, I just want to ask you, do you wish sometimes that you didn't do that? I love you as a friend so much. So you could do that to me. You can do that to me. I just like point out little things just to help you because for one thing, I think that you were just dead set on, you know, hey, I know this and that is where I'm staying. This is like where I stopped college. But you know what? No, you can still learn this new thing. And you do. And you do, you do, you do. I feel like I've opened you up a little bit wider because do you sometimes tend to, or in general, do autistic people tend to just stick like on their road and then just go that road forever?
There needs to be order in their lives, and when there's disorder in their lives, they fall apart. They don't handle change well at all. It's and it's very hard to deal with change. You know,
even
and,
little things.
Like I mean, just like for example, the other day I was at Dairy Queen, and I took an Uber there, and I was going to take an Uber home. But the problem was that when it's a busy time, the prices are higher. So I was like panicking. I was thinking, how long are they going to be like this? You know, it wasn't that much higher. It was only like $10 more, but it was just, it was really nerve-wracking for me. And, or, you know, the computer not working right, or, I mean, I know that these things, I don't know. I mean, do those things make you have anxiety? Are you there? Hello? I can't hear you. Are you okay, or? Okay. Yeah, I can't hear. Okay, don't worry, everyone. We're dealing with this. Okay. Okay. Give me one second here. All right, Barbara's taking care. We're all taking care of some things, everyone. Okay. Okay. All right, we'll take care of it, everyone. We'll be back in long term. Okay. Okay, Barbara, are you there?
Yes. I ended up calling on my microphone, so now I have a huge echo. So that didn't work. I don't know. Can you send me the email again, please?
Well,
I'll connect that way.
No, it seemed to be on fine, and I don't hear
it. I am.
Is there still an echo?
Johnny, what happened? Is I was so echoey, like I still am right now. And I'm connecting. I'm pushing another button. Maybe I won't echo. Well, I don't hear myself now. Can you keep talking?
Well, I think what happened was you were on twice, so I deleted the other one of you.
Oh, good. Okay, well, how do I sound now?
You sound perfect.
Okay.
But
sorry for the glitches, everybody, and I don't even remember what I was saying, and it was such a great point.
Well, the point is, I think we were talking about, we were talking about autism and families and about how misreading things that people say and, you know, sarcasm and not able to pick it up on it.
Well, it seems like it would hurt your feelings.
Yeah, it does because it makes me, for a long time, I was very gullible. I believed in a lot of things that people would tell me. And what's worse is, it was worse online because, you know, online, I was not able to see what the person is saying, you know, and it can really get to you. I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? I have a question. Besides me, do you have any friends in real life that have autism?
Probably a lot that we don't even know have it. It sometimes is a a lot of times it's great. Most of the, well, how could it not be great? They are people, as yourself, who are wonderful individuals who give so much to society, even inventors. They've done amazing things. They're considered, you know, very, very special. And well, I find it to be very interesting. And
he knows
I have questions about it. Right. No, I don't know. I don't know that to answer your question, but I have a question. How do they determine, and what is the spectrum of autism? And what, oh, that's what I was, okay, got it back, everybody. What is Asperger's? Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Well, Asperger's is not a term that is used anymore, and that's one of the reasons I had to change the title, because it's actually high-functioning autism. But the thing is that what they do is a person with the high-functioning autism, or at least the way it used to be Asperger's, the person does not have a delay in language, but what it is they pick one topic, and then they become obsessed with it. I used to be obsessed with boxing. And
at a time? Can you switch it up throughout the day, your obsessions?
Well, a good example would be, like, my nephew, Van. He will sit down, and he will tell you about Sesame Street trivia, whether you're interested in it or not. And he'll,
a lot of kids do that. Hold on. I want to know something that he does that no other kid would do.
Well, I mean, the thing that he does, I don't know. That's something I'd have to think about. But I know that he was, you know, like the Tooth Fairy story. That's another one you probably heard. But, I mean, like, what he does little sweet, he used to do sweet little things. Like, one time he would, I think I might have told you this, I don't know, he wrote a letter to my, he would write letters to my mom talking about how much he loved her. And the thing is that he didn't know that you weren't supposed to put the person's phone number on the outside of the envelope. Well, he did. And mom got this letter with the phone number in the outside of the envelope. So I came inside and I said, you know, Mom, everybody knows where your number is now. And also when he was young, he would say the role. He would say all the names of the people that he, whenever he would say his prayers, he would name everybody. In his little
universe. Just really into just, okay, ritualistic type of behavior.
Yeah.
But, okay, he's the one who can speak, though. You have another nephew who does not talk. So what is that?
I'll tell you one of the sweetest moments with Alex. I might have said this, but I wouldn't say it again. He did a thing where he was getting ready to leave, to go to Florida. This is back when I lived in Georgia. And I got in real close to him, you know. And then, now, do you know Spanish, by the way, before I tell you the rest of this?
A little bit, un poquito.
Okay. Well, what happened was as I got close to him, he opened up his arms and he would beso, kiss.
Oh.
And
he speaks
so I kissed
Spanish?
Him and I hugged him. What?
Does he speak Spanish?
No, I don't know how much Spanish he speaks, but this is what he said. He said, best
kiss. Oh, that's
kiss. Interesting.
He picked
that
up somewhere.
Yeah, so I leaned in, then I hugged him and I kissed him. And then he goes, I want my privacy. And that's what he always says when he wants you to leave him alone.
Hey, you
know? You
know what? Straight shooters, but that's what you are, too. And I like that. We could learn a lot from autistic people who focus on one thing, because that has, maybe I'm not that autistic because I really just, my mind is scattered all over the place, but something's wrong. I think sometimes it was one of those days. It's just like, you can't get off the flow, a creative flow. It's like, and everything takes so long and then you get this great idea and then you go to do it and then you can't find the content for like an hour and you just saw it there and what happened and well, now you better just get back to the piles of laundry ahead of you and
right.
things like that, you know, and it's frustrating because we want to do fun things and I want to do stuff for myself, but I don't know. Do you think I have autism at all, Johnny? Because I have hang-ups.
I don't. I mean, I think that you've been through a lot. There's no question about that. But I think that you don't have – the reason I think that you don't have it is because, you know, you have this personality that's very, very engaging, you know. And also, now, I mean, maybe you're a little bit obsessive-compulsive, but that's not – necessarily the same thing as autism. The only reason I say that is that your job requires constant, intense preparation for every time you do it. I mean, every time you stand, turn your hand,
everything.
And, yeah,
oh,
it's all
for thinking about that. Thanks for thinking about that. Thanks for thinking about that, what I do or go through at times.
Well, there's
times.
A lot of preparing.
But
I mean,
not about that, Johnny, not about the actual doing of the actual posing in the shoot modeling. I'm talking about daily stuff, sitting here and then following through and getting yourselves together, you know, marketing everything and staying on top of social media and motherhood and the house. And just keeping everything up and then planning on a trip here and there, some fun for yourself. And then I did make a stage for my drums. But you know what? Autistic people, they will focus on one thing. And I liked it how earlier you said, he doesn't care if you want to hear his story or not. He's going to tell you. And you know what? You don't care. You're going to do it. And I've seen this determination in you that you don't care. Eventually, you will just not be depressed. You'll get up and you'll go do what you said you wanted to do. So sometimes, maybe you shouldn't even tell people what you're up to. That's my little trick.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to hear any negative, and which drains a person big time, to hear their comments. Because it doesn't matter. You're doing it anyway. So why even hear those words?
I know. But how many autistic people have you ran into, by the way?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't remember. I don't know because when you meet some... Okay, wait, hold on. No, apparently I do. No, I'm sorry. Apparently I do know a person who has Asperger's very well, and I've been around this person a lot. So I never asked him, this grown man, do you have this? Have you been diagnosed with it? But their partner, who is very close with me, just told me that they have this Asperger's. They will never explain to me what it is. So thank you, Johnny, for explaining. So now I know. Okay, so some autistic people, well, I already knew this, they don't have Asperger's. They're not constantly like saying things that they want to put their foot in their mouth about, you know, or sometimes or ever. So that's different. So it's a little bit, they're high functioning, but also they have this about them that they do this. Okay. So are these high functioning autistic people, are they only the ones with Asperger's? Just clarify that part little bit.
What happened was that the term Asperger's isn't really used anymore. It got replaced with high-functioning autism. That's what they do. So when somebody says they're high-functioning autism, that means that they are what used to be called Asperger's. Does that make sense?
Yes, but it's not what I asked. Okay, it's not what I asked. I'm asking that if you have high-functioning autism, then you are the one with Asperger's. And the person with the low-functioning autism, they don't have Asperger's? or can they both have it?
Yeah, it's like what it is basically the term Asperger's is not a term anymore that psychologists use. It's just, I'm only talking about it in the past tense. So now it's just the autistic spectrum, high functioning autistic, and then the low functioning autistic.
Oh my gosh. So now it does make sense. So you have Asperger's, which we now call high functioning autism, and your nephews have autism.
Yes. I mean, like, they'll do things like, for example, like one of my nephews will get really close to you and then, you know, stand really close without realizing it, you know. Or they will walk around, like, you know, like, for example, my nephew Van will walk around without a shirt on. And he is very much into, I think probably if he met you, he probably would comment over and over again that you're my co-host over and over again is what he would say.
Well, that kind of makes him feel important to say something like that.
Well, yeah, like I'll tell you another good band story. I don't know why. But when I was a kid, Mom used to call me upstairs to come down to dinner, and she always did it in a really loud tone. But what happened was that Van sort of thought that I was deaf. So every time that he would say my name when he would do the roll at night, it would go like this. Nana, Papa, Cassie, Dasha, Uncle John!
Oh, he thought you were deaf because your mom would always call upstairs to you?
Yeah.
Well, see, they get this in their mind. They get something in their mind.
Even if I was a couple of feet away, he would scream out my name.
Yeah, but even if somebody... Okay, but even if somebody said, no, he's not deaf, would he then say, oh, okay, haha, I thought that he was, or just be straightforward... Hey,
well, he doesn't
do
that anymore. He doesn't do that anymore.
Okay, I'm not getting anywhere with figuring out what a spectrum is with you. I mean, yes, your stories are cute, and I can imagine that the children doing them and all of your family is very loving is wonderful, okay? But, Johnny, I need to know stuff. Like, how do they figure out if your nephews have autism or is a spectrum?
Well,
like, how many people have it? What is going on? Besides... like saying funny things, I mean, which are not really that different than what normal kids are saying.
You mean, how do they tell? Well,
yeah, how are they tested?
Okay, first of all,
how is it tested? Is it treated? Is it a thing that people even say it's treated? Or is it accepted as you're this type of person? And
There's ways of dealing with it. You know, what it is that, like, for example, you sort of deal with it, not really treat it. A good example is like when it's Alex's birthday and we sing happy birthday to him, we don't do it loudly. We whisper happy birthday because the noise is too loud. We go,
right.
You know,
that's a normal thing for autistic people. Yes. They don't like it. From that Rain Man movie, was he autistic, Rain Man?
I think that he was, but there were certain scenes that I didn't think, I wondered about them being realistic. Like, for example, he goes to a casino and, you know, here he is with all the lights flashing and everything and he's not bothered by it. And
exactly.
Then another thing that I don't understand why... I mean, I know why they put this in here, but I'm not sure I understand. Like, why is it that they made Raymond afraid of flying? Because, see, I don't think he even understood where an autistic person is going to even understand what's going on. They're so far into themselves. I mean, they're not even going to think I'm on an airplane, you know.
Especially if he's the type that can count that many toothpicks that fall on the ground. If he's that type, you knew, because you know autism so well, that you knew that wasn't quite realistic. And that bugs people when they're experts at things.
Let me tell you, I'm not saying I'm an expert. Let me tell you why I don't think that that was realistic. Okay, I interviewed many years ago on this show when I was just alone doing the show, the inspiration for Rain Man. His name is Kim Peek. And
you interviewed that person?
Yes, he passed away a few years ago, but his name was Kim Peek. Oh. And the thing is that he was the inspiration for Rain Man. But here's the thing. I mean, the guy flew all over the country. He wasn't afraid of flying.
Well, Johnny, come on. They had to make it interesting for the...
Right.
They wanted a fun road
trip. You're right. I know why they did it.
Cool
road trip. Because if he wasn't afraid of flying, that movie would have been 10 minutes long.
Well, yeah. Well, what about the convertible scenes? The cinema photography that they got out of it. I mean, they made it into a beautiful movie because they turned it into like a brotherly road trip.
No, I agree with you there. It's just that there are things that, you know, I don't know if autistic people would really be afraid of flying. I will tell you this. This is interesting. When they showed that movie on an air, when they showed that movie on an airplane, they always edit out the airport scene.
Oh, really? Well, I just don't remember. Was it horrible? But that's good. See, you notice all these little things that are, you know, fun. You're good at trivia.
Right.
At things that you really are interested in, Johnny. And you know what? I have to tell you, I don't know if it means anything to you, but I worked with you for the first one full year, and I did not even know you had autism.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Well, I think
there you have it, everybody. Yeah. I think it's pretty easy to live with somebody with autism. It's, you know, it's interesting, and there's no difference in how much you love them and they love you. And I find it sometimes that dealing with autism can be, I can imagine, challenging as far as patience. But if you really listen to the autistic person, really, they just are wanting a straight answer. They're asking you a straight question. And don't go, oh, my gosh, don't you know this? No, take it at face value and just answer their question. Just answer the question completely, and then they will understand. So I've learned a lot working with an autistic person, such as yourself as the high-functioning one, just with a lot of different things as just being a good human being, as being patient and kind, and then realizing, wow, how grateful I am to be around a person who is just so good, like 100% good-hearted. Would never hurt a person, would always be honest to the nth whatever degree. You are that, Johnny. And, okay, so you're not down right now or anything, right?
No, I'm not.
Last night I said, oh, Priscilla, my daughter, let's call Johnny. And we were going to call you, but I'm doing the show with you today anyway, and just make sure that you're okay, because is it a common thing that autistic people do fall into depression?
Oh, I'm sure they do, because it's frustrating. It's like you want to tell. I mean, like, for example, this is something to put into perspective. I mean, how does somebody like my nephew, you know, I mean, like, for example, if your daughter had a toothache, you know, she would be able to tell you. But you know, my nephew would have a problem.
Really? Yeah. But he wouldn't be able to. He just rubs the area and it hurts.
Yeah, it would be some other indirect way I mean, you know, and can you imagine with that? I mean, the pain your daughter would go through if she had a toothache. Can you imagine not being able to say anything? And
it could be dangerous if it's an earache, because that going untreated is dangerous. So, no, but your sister's doing a great job raising these wonderful boys, and you guys have such a loving family. They're very fortunate to have you guys, though, to care extra. You have a little extra care to, what is his name? What are their names, Johnny?
Alex and Dan.
Okay, and Dan, is he the oldest
Dan.
One? Dan
is the oldest one.
Dan.
And you've actually talked to my sister Chrissy before.
Yes. What a wonderful woman, strong woman, totally on top of things. Great mother, great wife, great sister, just a family person. I know, and your sisters came on the show one time, and that is a rare thing. So that was, I'm glad that they feel like I care, because I do, and I wanted to do this topic because you mention it a lot on air, and we, you know, we don't have a lot of time to go over your thoughts about it, and to be able to talk about your little cute nephews and that they're doing really well, and they bring a lot of happiness to your lives, and you, a high-functioning autistic person, well, we all know what you bring to everybody.
Right.
You bring a heck of a lot of things. And, you know, you have a great perspective on a lot of things. I like your stories about, you know, college. I wish I went to college with you, Johnny. That would have been fun. I would
Thank
have
you.
Taken good care of you. I do always care for the underdogs. Like when we have an exchange student, my girlfriend Jennifer and I, we'd have an exchange student from Japan, and we were the only ones who would even befriend him. He went home. Oh, my goodness. He sent us these lavish yukatas. They're wonderful Japanese, authentic garb. Shoes. The shoes were made of wood, and they were so cute.
Oh, they're shoes. Okay.
Oh, a yukata. I'm pretty sure it's called a yukata. It's Japanese, and it was just so sweet, and you know how they package things so cool. I love it. Still have it in perfect condition from high school. So, not like, oh, do things because you might get a Japanese yukata someday in return. Just do it because it touches people's lives, and that's what life is all about, is to feel that wonderful adrenaline rush of love and happiness and joy. That's life, right, Johnny?
Right.
All right.
Well, thank you for suggesting this idea, the show idea.
You are welcome. I loved it. I don't even know what time it is, but just by, oh my gosh, it's 5:30 exactly. Literally, Johnny, I have that kind of clock now. I don't need an alarm clock to wake up ever. And I literally know when it's bedtime at 11, because I'm just like, going to conk out right then, and I literally know when our show's over, whether it's a 30 minute or an hour. Literally look down and it's exactly the time.
Okay, all right.
Thank you, Johnny. Well, everybody, we'll see you on Friday, same time, same place. Follow us on Blog Talk Radio, and please, this week I'd like to hear from you on our Facebook page. All right. Not hard. Life, Laughter, Happiness radio show. Find us there. All right. Thank you, Johnny. Thanks for sharing your stories. And good night to all.